with me? So during the month of August, our theme has been open communication. Open communication. So in open communication, we communicate openly with each other in an atmosphere of collaboration and inclusiveness. So today I'm going to focus on this inclusiveness, the art of inclusion, what it is and how we can incorporate it into our lives. To quote Ernest Holmes, God is all there is. God includes everything, all possibility and all action. For spirit is the individual essence and substance of all form. So God is everything. Everything is included in this life of God. So we know this spiritual truth that there is no separation in the divine. God includes everything and everyone. And our spiritual work then is to bring this truth forth in our lives so that we are living, moving, acting from that truth in every circumstance. So how do we go about including everyone? How do we expand our awareness, our knowledge, and our hearts to help break down those barriers, those false barriers that separate us from other cultures, other races, other political parties, other social classes, other ways of being? How do we break down those barriers? Every single thing that separates me from another being, another human being, another being of any sort, separates me from God and from my divine nature. So any separation, I'm the loser. I'm the one that's losing out on the allness of God expressing in my life. So every judgment separates me from others and therefore blocks my ability to receive. So today I'm going to offer four techniques that we can use to break down those barriers between us and others and to therefore feel and find our good in the world around us. The thing that establishes unity in every family group of the race respects the individual differences of others while at the same time cooperating with them. So respecting differences and cooperating with them. We are a part of a initiative called United Religions Initiative, which has that as their goal, to respect all religions and learn to cooperate with them. So that's a wonderful thing for all of us to think about, how we can bring that into our life, no matter what those separations that we have formed with our thinking may have been. So we each have an individual part to play in the great scheme of things. And the most valuable thing that any of us can do is to be a little more certain every day that we're meeting life with a greater understanding, a greater sympathy, a greater compassion for others, with a greater sense of love. So thoughts of judgment, thoughts of criticism, thoughts of condemnation in time operate against the one who sets them in motion. Ernest Holmes said, each soul is some part of the whole, and it's impossible that any soul can be lost. So we're all a part of the whole, and no soul can be lost or separated from that. And as we work to understand that and experience that and live from that within ourselves, we find our greatest happiness, our greatest wholeness. So there are four things I want to talk about today and explore how we can do this a little more effectively. The first one is to tell the truth about yourself. Tell the truth about your vulnerability. Tell the truth about what you're going through. I want to thank Melissa for her beautiful vulnerability that she is sharing with us as she goes through this very deep and wrenching grief process. She's been able to put into beautiful words that touch our hearts and describe what she is going through. And thank you, Melissa, for sharing that with us, for being so honest and so vulnerable. That really touches and heals each of us. Greg Baer was a successful eye surgeon. And he was happily married. He had 7 children. And he thought he was on the top of the world. He was making lots of money. Everything was going good. Until he found himself one day in his backyard with a pistol in his mouth. And he realized he really wasn't doing so good. Maybe in the world's way of looking at things, things were looking like they were good, but he knew that deep inside of him, he had missed finding real love. He had missed that real connection with love. So what he did was he quit his lucrative practice and he began to explore what real love was about. And he began to write books. And he's written a total of 13 books at this time. I brought in a couple and put them on the free shelf there in case you want to look into some of his work. It's called Real Love for Wise Men and Women, Real Love in Marriage, Real Love in the Workplace, different titles like that. So he transformed his life and the lives of many others. And the central point of his books is that none of us grew up experiencing unconditional love. We grew up experiencing conditional love in most every case. And so when we love conditionally, we think we need to work to get love. We pretend to be who we think people want us to be. So we put up this facade and we pretend to be other than we are. Jackie, you want to make sure we've got that turned down low enough? Maybe turn it down to about 68. I can see it's a little hot in here. Push the bottom button. Thank you. Okay, so when we do that, when we pretend to be other than who we are and people like or love us, then that doesn't satisfy us because we know we're a fraud. We know we're just pretending. And so we're afraid that if we were who we really were, if we really were vulnerable, if we really showed people who we are, they wouldn't like us. And so we live with this dilemma. How can I get the love I want? And yet, how can I tell the truth about myself at the same time? Well, that's because we're all working under a case of mistaken identity. We're identifying with the small self, with the ego self, that thinks it has to present itself a certain way to other people, instead of realizing that we have a divine nature, and that divine nature is perfect exactly the way it is. And it's safe to tell people who we are and what we're feeling. Now, of course, when we do that, we might run the risk of somebody rejecting us. But they didn't really love us in the first place if they can't know the truth about us. But on the other hand, we have an opportunity to experience real love, to find people who really love us for the truth of who we are. And so to do this, we don't just walk up to people and spew out every bad thing we've ever thought about ourselves. That's not appropriate. But to find ways to be honest as we move along in relationships and tell them what we're feeling, if we felt left out of something, if we felt not included, if we felt that they not good enough, we can tell what we felt, what our experience was, and just be honest and vulnerable. And people who are open to seeing the real you will see you for that, and they will appreciate the honesty that you've shared with them. So when we share our vulnerabilities and we let people see the real us, then we can experience real love. And that's the essence of Greg Bear's work. The second thing to break down barriers that separate us from each other is to seek to understand rather than be understood. You might recognize that line from the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, "Grant that I may seek to understand instead of be understood." That's a very important thing. And in this month's series, we're using this book. It's called Gracism. Gracism, the Art of Inclusion. Now, the author of this book is Reverend David Anderson. And he had experienced racism in his life, but as he came into his fullness of the truth of who he was as a divine being, he said, "I'm combining grace with racism." So he calls it gracism, where we see the grace of God in everything around us, in every relationship. And he does a lot of work with that. He just put the G from grace or God in front of racism to make the term gracism. So that's an act of inclusivity that we can open our hearts to and be aware of how we can bring more gracism into our lives. And one technique that he found is helpful in doing this is to remember that everybody has a dot. Everybody has a dot. And the experiment that they did to show how this works is they got 10 volunteers, 10 people who were going in for job interviews. And unbeknownst to them or the people who were interviewing them, they went up to them and they said, "We're going to put a red dot on your cheek. And when you go in for this interview, I want you to notice if the interviewer looks at the red dot on your cheek." So they put red dots on the cheeks of 5 of the interviewees. The other 5, they didn't put a dot. They just touched them. But the interviewee didn't know that. They didn't know who had the red dot and who didn't. So they went into the interview. They had their interview. And afterwards, they were asked, "Did the interviewer look at that red dot on your cheek?" And every single one of those 10 people said, "Yes, the interviewer looked at that red dot on my cheek," although only 5 of them actually had a red dot. The others had an invisible dot. So if they had an invisible dot, it was impossible for anyone to be staring at it. So the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi asks us to grant that we may understand rather than be understood. So the key to communication is breaking down separation. And the story of the dots helps us to recognize that every one of us has a dot of some kind. Every one of us thinks there's something different about me that might make people look at me differently. Now, some of us might have a visible dot, the color of my skin, or a physical disability, or maybe it may be an invisible dot, like your class background, your sexual orientation, or maybe a childhood trauma. Those would be dots that you think everybody sees, but yet they're invisible. So our spiritual work is to understand and to recognize that we all have dots, and that the person that you may be poking fun at or belittling or making a joke at the expense of, that person has a dot. And you may have just hurt and injured that person through being callous and not understanding what that other person is feeling and experiencing. So for some people who have an obvious dot, you may be bringing up something that they have dealt with all of their life, and it's a very sore, tender part. And so when you bring that up, you're automatically excluding them from feeling loved and included. But remember, everybody has a dot. You have a dot, and everyone else has a dot. And so this understanding brings compassion. It brings compassion, it brings understanding, it brings connection to all of us. Maybe we're being sensitive to our dots. Maybe people aren't even aware of them. Or maybe we're being unkind to someone who has an invisible dot that they're highly sensitive to. So sensitivity and compassion are needed in order to experience and share real love. So think about that before you make a joke at the expense of someone else or do something that you think is really funny or you think is really clever. It may be their invisible dot that you've just hurt and wounded. So that's something for us to think about. The third thing that we can do to break down the barriers that separate us and isolate us from each other, that keep us from including each other, is also pointed out in Reverend David Anderson's book. He has taught about this gracism in his church, and he said that one of his congregants was traveling at one point in time, and she was traveling on Southwest Airlines. And if any of you have ever traveled on Southwest Airlines, you're aware of the fact that they don't have assigned seats. You get into a line at the terminal, and you just take, so everybody lines up early so they can get their choice of seats, and you just take the seat that's available in your section. Well, his congregant was at the airport. She was in a Southwest terminal waiting for her flight, and she noticed this immigrant family that was there. There was a mother and several children, and they looked very confused. They didn't know where they should be standing, what to do, and they kept trying to talk to people, but they had a limited control over the English language, and so they weren't able to communicate what they needed. Well, she said in her letter that when I first saw them and saw that they were confused and wandering around and didn't know what to do, she said, I didn't want to be bothered with them. I just felt like I wish they'd just go away or work this out and quit being somebody that I'm noticing. And then she had one of those epiphanies, you know, those ahas. She remembered this concept of gracism that her minister had been telling them about. And she thought, ah, this is what it is. This is gracism that I can show to these people. So her heart was filled with compassion, and the way was clear for what she should do. She realized there was a gap in front of her in the line, and she motioned to the mother. She tapped her on the shoulder and motioned to her with her very limited command of Spanish. She motioned to her to come and stand right here in front of me. And the mother was so grateful. She broke out in this big smile, almost cried, and got her children over there, and everything, you know, proceeded in order. And the congregant said in her letter how embarrassed she was, that she had waited so long to take action, that she could have taken action right away, but that she didn't. She was irritated, and she was acting on her own prejudices about immigrants and about people who weren't included in the right way to do things. So that was a lesson for her. But then she thought, no, it's okay, because every one of us are learning about gracism. We don't have to do it perfectly. We're learning. And she was grateful that she had the inspiration to act when she did. So we can all feel that same way about ourselves. We're just learning. And if we haven't done something in the past, we can look for ways to do something next or in the future. So the fourth way that I want to encourage you to practice inclusivity is with yourself. With yourself. Sometimes we're so concerned about taking care of other people, making sure they feel included or they're taken care of, that we forget about ourselves. We forget that we're a child of God too. And last week I talked about Ken Wilber. Ken Wilber is the founder of Integral Spirituality, Spiral Dynamics, and he talks about how we move up the scale of evolutionary consciousness, a step or stage at a time. And he said that through meditation, we begin to identify with our infinite self, with our larger self, getting away from the ego self. And he said that research shows that we can fairly easily transform up until about the age of 20 or 22, and then our growth just kind of levels out until we're about 60 or 70, and then it picks up again. So we have this huge chunk of time between about 20 and 60 or 70 where we're evidently not growing very much. And that's where many of us take up spiritual practices. He said the spiritual practices that we usually take up, psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, coaching, hatha yoga, reading books, doing prayers or affirmations, he said all of those things can be helpful, but none of them raise the level up more than 0.25%. So in other words, a quarter of a percent to the next level is all we achieve through that. But he said that if we have a practice of meditation for 4 years, 20 minutes twice a day, can raise our growth up 2 full levels. It's the most effective way to grow in our individual consciousness. So I want you to really take that into your consideration as you're planning what it is you want to do for yourself. Meditation is a very, very important way to accelerate your evolution. You know, the evolution of our bodies is just a given. We're going to be born, we're going to evolve from a baby to a toddler, to a child, to an adult, to a mature adult. But the evolution of consciousness is optional. It's optional. It's something that we have to be invested in. We have to have a commitment to. And we can look around us in the world and see that some people have more of a dedication and a commitment to growing in their consciousness evolution than others. So we can do something about that, and meditation is the best way to do that. So remember to include yourself in this process of divine love and caring. It's often easier, as I said, to see others in a loving and caring manner and forget about ourselves. When I'm feeling lonely or disconnected, do you have those times too? Sometimes you just feel kind of lonely and disconnected. I'm realizing that I'm not including me. I'm not including me in God's love. I'm not including me in God's care. So I've realized that if I will just take a breath and say, I am included in God's love. I am included in God's care. And just let that be my meditation, that in just a moment, I feel like I click back into that oneness, that connection with Source, where before I was feeling isolated or apart from or not included in the love of God. Just that simple practice can help me feel included in that love of the divine. So we can make all the difference in the world and in our own ability to receive by breaking down the barriers that separate us. So this next week, I challenge you to ask yourself these four questions. Where can I tell the truth about myself to someone this week? Where can I be vulnerable? Where can I tell the truth about who I am and what I'm feeling in a way that you're owning it? You're not placing blame. You're owning it. This is my feeling. This is where I am right now. Two is, how can I seek to understand rather than be understood? And how can I remember that everyone has a dot on their cheek that they are conscious of and that I may not even know about it? How can I be sensitive and kind to that dot on someone else's cheek so that my words and my actions and my way of relating to them is including them in that process? How can I extend a welcome? How can I extend a welcome and inclusion to others who may feel left out of my community, my culture, my world? How can I reach out and include someone this week? And how can I remember this week that I too am loved and cared for? So by keeping these questions in mind, we don't have to find the answers. We just have to know the questions. We know these questions and we let the universe bring the answers into our experience and provide opportunities for us to include more in our lives. So we have an affirmation. Let's read it together. I connect myself with all humanity and with my divine good by judging nothing and including everyone. And so it is. Okay, let's just go within for a moment and have a closing prayer as we anchor these truths within us, these truths and ideas of how to be inclusive so that we can break down those barriers within ourselves that are separating us from each other, from all others, and from our true identity as a child of God. I am so grateful that the truth is that we are ever and always one with divine love, divine light. We are always embraced by this love. We are never excluded in any way. I'm grateful that as we let this truth sink into our consciousness, as we know that I am included in the love of God. I am included in the care of God, that we can dissolve and release any barriers that make us feel like we are apart from each other or from divine love. Thank you, Divine Spirit, that that truth is always here for us, always awaiting our acknowledgement and our recognition. We truly are so loved, and I'm grateful, and so it is. Amen.